Now we're here to introduce Jeffrey Netter. Jeffrey's flown in this morning from New York, and he's only here until he's flying out tomorrow morning. He's just flown in to read for you guys tonight, and I kind of made him run around today being like, you have to see Montreal in 4 hours, so. Give you a minute?
Yeah. Keep talking.
Keep talking.
Oh, Heather, you have to do it.
I'm not going to.
Where did we go? I got my bangs trimmed.
No, we took them to get Heather's bangs trimmed.
We had pralines and cream ice cream. We went to two different bookstores, Welch's just across the street, and then we went to The Word, which has Delirium Press books if ever you wanted to purchase one. What else did we do?
Called me 5 times.
Called Jocelyn a number of times. I'm leaving tomorrow, so that was necessary.
Where did you eat?
We ate at Chez Jose. I had an omelet. They had coffee and cake. You're ready. Okay.
Okay. That's all. If you want the rest, you'll have to talk to us after the reading.
Oh, but I want to know how you guys met.
How did we meet Jeffrey?
We met him when he arrived off the plane
off
and
the
took
plane.
A taxi to my house.
Nice. And then we're like, oh, hi, Jeffrey. Nice to meet you. But Jeffrey, we know Jeffrey through the Wave Books folks, so that's why we are lucky to have him in our presence.
Yeah. Okay, Jeffrey Netter was born in Sacramento, California. He is the author of A Summer Evening, winner of the 2001 Colorado Prize, and Waters, Leaves, and Other Poems, Wave Books. His poems have appeared in many journals and anthologies, including The Best American Poetry, 1997, and the Iowa Anthology of New American Poetries. He lives in Manhattan with his wife, daughter, and son. Please welcome Jeffrey Netter.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate and Heather, for your hospitality, and Sarah, too. Thank you very much. And thank you, Zach, John Paul, and Katya, for reading with me, for those great readings. Just want to read a poem here. I was looking for this. I want to dedicate this to Zach. Poets get paid to name new antidepressants. Ensmagegna, for example. To declare war on sentient trees and an uprooted tree caught by the hair in the river stream. War blades is unacceptable, suggesting grass. You can imagine grass blades in the jaws of fire ants. Uncarved block is good. Dapangur and Dapangong suggest the Orient, or two giant monsters laying waste to island cities with their dove wings. Apple water runs so boundlessly by silver railings. Sing a gayatri that it may run so clear and cold forever, like a dark teardrop. Not to be difficult, but is there a way to raise this up, or can I be heard if I just stand like this? I don't have to go like this. Okay.
Okay.
That's great. The president said, a tree grows here so strong and so on top of me. It is dreamed by a man. It is called a fish. A girl with tangled hair came running and poured magic ink on his pants. He slept, and while she poured ink in his hair, he kept sleeping. Sleeping with blue ink and small twigs in his hair, he kept dreaming. He dreamed he was a tree, and when he woke, he hypnotized the girl. The girl became what he told her. The grass grew and was the president. When the man came back, he said bye to the girl, and she slipped into the brook and was a fish. It's a dream, said the president. He sat in the wind where the fish could see him. The wind touched his back and rippled through him. Where wind and rain worked, so did the president. He enacted his works. He meant to make it seem small by calling it dream. But the people worshipped the fish. The fish levitated in the sea like glass. The fish stopped dreaming they were the president and hypnotized the people. All along the grassy beach, the people looked into the glass. They couldn't reach the fish. They couldn't see the fish. The fish levitated above them. So there was a time of plenty. A magic book was read to them aloud. The president grew wild. In places it grew tall enough for trees to hide in. A girl ran through it. She played on the green president. She pursued her shadow through the president until her shadow rose like wild hair. She ran through its labyrinth of hedges and couldn't reach the end of him. In November, red leaves adorned the president and covered him all over. Mulch, trimmings, leaves rotting into the damp president. The president soaked with rain. In the morning, a shining, dew-soaked president, lapels festooned with dandelions. This is the most human-like of the fish that levitate above them. His eyes are blue and piercing. If indeed we remove her from where she plays by the sea, she will perhaps become a brook which will run beside him. With his green tuxedo and wonderful hair, he will grow beside the brook. I'm talking to giant water bugs, and they're built. Yes, they're beautiful. Yes, I'd marry them all if I could. My moods change all the time. I am a white car shooting a blue spotlight into the sky. Then I am a small animal with wet hair, a cat with feathery wings. You are beautiful, astonishing, unbelievable, amazing, hypnotic, terrific. You're a giant, enormous, bigger than a tree, of marvelous stature, a towering, giant, flowering bird. What's that flaring out of the sun-rooted rigs? A tree of great stature. With what loveliness you loom with rapture over me. There is nothing like you anywhere. Let's say we built ourselves an effigy using a murder of crows and the vastness of the sky drifting down in their shape into us. The ground is made so true with the addition of the dying leaves, using a murder of crows and the vastness of the sky for good measure. Over there, the clouds. Over here, the ground is made so true with the addition of the dying leaves. I wrapped around everything she had for me right then, even the rain for good measure. Over there, the clouds. Over here, the rain figuring into the scene we thought we'd captured. I wrapped around everything she had for me right then, even the rain that preached itself to us like silver spiders. The rain figured into the scene we thought we'd captured. Out of the leftover sounds of the day, the gravel that preached itself to us like silver spiders, we could build a statue to ourselves. Out of the leftover sounds of the day, the gravel of our private music could be sifted out, and we could build a statue to ourselves to shine as newborn jet planes shine. Most of our private music could be sifted out, and as oleanders adjust themselves around the first frost to shine as newborn jet planes shine, most of what we call seeing is actually believing. As oleanders adjust themselves around the first frost, how much are we inflicting on the autumn? How much of what we call seeing is actually believing? My shadow on the flagstone somehow dramatizing how much we are inflicting on the autumn. How much we shriveled into what we wanted it to do for us. My shadow on the flagstone somehow dramatizing how we are the policemen of the lake and branches. We shriveled into what we wanted it to do for us, and a thrace of wind plagued the trees and acknowledged how we are the policemen of the lake and branches. The engines are revving. Like dutiful mountains they sang, and a thrace of wind plagued the trees and acknowledged their ascension. A blue that seems ersatz is wondrous. The engines are revving. Like dutiful mountains they sang far into a sky that seemed to welcome their ascension. A blue that seems ersatz is wondrous, and the meadows arrayed like a brochure of meadows far into a sky that seemed to welcome our poltergeists. We awake with the suspicion we've been used, and the meadows arrayed like a brochure of meadows convince us we can stare into the sun for hours. We claim our poltergeists. We awake with the suspicion we've been used, feeling everything's desire to be ours. Our dreams convince us we can stare into the sun for hours. We claim the landscape scrolling past the window, charmed, feeling everything's desire to be ours. Our dreams make us innocent who run in the ferrying light of helicopters. The landscape scrolling past the window, charmed, until our teeth are broken in our mouths. Make us innocent who run in the ferrying light of helicopters. Televise our shapes across the field so we may rest, until our teeth are broken in our mouths, and statues of crows and engine noises dramatizing who we are, televise our shapes across the field so we may rest, until we have the answer, and statues of crows and engine noises dramatizing who we are. Let's say we built ourselves an effigy until we have the answer drifting down in their shape into us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jeffrey, one thing, you don't need to hug the microphones.
No, man, I need to.
Okay.
They're just there.
I have an uneasy relationship with technology, but I'm going to try to. Maybe even obscene relationship. Okay. The letter G. This letter is the outline of a camel's head and neck. The camel's head and neck are stretched out in the sunshine against a blue sky. But enough about the letter G. It's night, not day, after all, and you're pretty sleepy, after all, having spent the best part of the daylight hours with the bean counters and the green eye shade people. And now it's time, perhaps, to consider the wares on sale in front of the forest before you enter there and lay your head down on a bed of leaves. There, some statues of mossy brown jugs, lichen-covered demijohns, and here some giant-sized carved wooden ducks veined with seagrass. It all seems pretty useless, like dew, or even the very forest itself. For indeed, who made it, and what is it for? And like the forest, the bodies of water, sea, lake, river, and waterfall all have their spirits, half child, half something else, shivering in the spray like red tape, streaming from the towers of the granite city, which, thankfully, this moment, is small and far away as a leaf, and the leaves all around you are small and very near. All dreams begin in the middle. At least, the middle is where we begin to remember them. And we wake up in the middle of our lives. We wake up to ourselves, and it seems like a recurring dream, because we have fallen asleep at points along the way. It recurs nonsensically like the spinning cylinders of cement trucks at dawn. We close our eyes and brace ourselves for what is to come. Alarms chime in the sky acidly. The stars of the zodiac crisscross the sea-green ceiling of the rail station. But the real sky is darker than wine, in which we recognize gradually something amid the crowd of shapes growing clearer at moonset. Not just the buildings nor the unrelated leaves, in relation to which everything is near and unforgotten, for they too are circular and never really sleep. So when they seem to die, they merely sleep lightly. But also your very own life, sleeping and sleepless, dreaming and dreamless, with its clear beginning and definitive end, and everything else, a middle, you wake into but slowly, the sea with its serene indifference, no mother and no father, but near and unforgotten, and in relation to which you may remember them, as they always were, and as you are, half awake, but waking, not asleep but dreaming of the endless city of cathedrals. Maybe it's not a good idea to read a poem about falling asleep during a poetry reading. I don't know. Let's try a song.
To have doubts, we doubt everything and nothing, and a grass green box of Chinese staples. We doubt everything. The eucalyptus trees sun themselves along the skyway. The leaves were very yellow green or light green yellow. The past seems so naive. But the future has gold in its shimmering leaves. The future knows everything, knows it darkly and forgets it.
Thank you.
I found a small matchbook-sized pamphlet comparing the corporation to a windmill.
It mentioned the big blades turning seemingly uselessly in the sky and the manager standing in the grass in a blue bespoke suit with a casual vigilance, a braid of red crows just floating above a fat hill. The pamphlet made me think, yes, that's a good point. What, indeed, is the corporation doing? And if it is indeed a windmill, what in the windmill is my analog? The wind? The great sails pushed downward by the crow-ridden breeze? The pressing of the fulling hammers in the cold stream? It was an unfinished conceit, and my place in it was left open. It did not go on to explain my function, nor did it go on to explain the windmill's function. It simply showed a windmill, and the windmill stood in a field, monumental, and the grass around it trembled. A shape appeared behind the shoulder-high asbestos wall of my workstation. I shoved the little book in my pocket as he passed in his evil nickel-plated wingtips, and I turned my thoughts back to the collectivity. How am I doing? One or two more? An obstruction, the obstruction bridge. Let's try something else. And what do the firemen dream? The firemen sleep in bright red mansions, umber manors in terrific states of tension, where all day yellow lamps are burning daylight, uselessly above the archways, where the trucks with curving tusks are sleeping, waiting to be driven to the buildings miserific by the firemen, who at this moment sleep. And huge clouds are soaring over the buildings and over the fire mansion, and burning purple clouds are moving out toward the horizon, and blue terrific clouds are passing over the flags on the supermarket roof, the flags which become the method for the wind to ask its questions, and stars are passing over the dark, round earth, and the people play pinochle in pinnacles that standeth all aglitter, though an earshot of the klaxon, as they rush through the truculent streets to reach them. The firemen dream of a bird with magic wings that comes to show them vengeance, and it is forming like a cloud above the station, forming and shaping its deep blue plumage with the wingspan of a falcon, innocent and vicious as a falcon, and the saw palmettos darken, their crested headdresses set asway, and the firemen come with sunrise, and sunrise comes with a sword and cut gold, and sunrise comes with entropy, its weapon, and sunrise comes with a sword. One more song. You can see us from so far away. You can see us near as silver in the sun. You can see us blind with joy and seeing everything around us. This bridge poised in the dazzling sun like scissors. And we hold one another's lives in our hands like scissors. I believe the city not yet visible exists. And I believe the city unbelievable exists. We are racing past the salt trucks underneath the green mass of the sky. We are aloft between landforms and their shadows. We are nowhere. And now you can see the white buildings coming through the haze. They can be seen from miles away like a cloud can. But the Great Wall can be seen from space. We all can be seen from space. And one more poem. When I was walking through the woods with a gun and a great and undulating V of ducks above me and the red leaves of the maple sweet and crystallized, I saw a black dog come out of a pond and break into a million light-tipped crystals as he shook the water from his fur. I was distorted man, distorted by what I did not know. And what avatar came sparkling then? And what spark-bedizened wand came shooting off sparks and formed the sparkling man? I was blinded man, blinded by a great distorting thing. The black dog came and licked my hand. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks for coming all the way from Manhattan to read for us. Fabulous.
And thank you, Zach, and thank you, Katya, and thank you, John Paul, for coming all the way from Winnipeg to read to us.